I want you to avoid the great tribulation by trusting Christ, and I want you to have the same burden God has for your neighbor. So if you care about them, help them avoid the great tribulation and all of this escalation and judgment by having them trust Christ before the rapture. Okay? Revelation chapter 15, starting in verse 1, "And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God." Here's an artist rendering of that, where seven angels are coming with seven bowls that are full of the wrath of God. "And I saw," verse 2, "as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass having the harps of God." So they were killed by the beast, but they got victory over him. And so I want you to know that earth's losers are heaven's winners. Okay, because there's coming, we are leaderless in this world right now. We're like a ship in a storm without a rudder. Nobody knows which way to go. We're all confused. What's going on? There's no strong person. Well, in this chaos that I believe Satan is coordinating, there's going to step forth a confident person who could win GQ's, you know, man of the year, tough, talk smooth. Everybody's going to trust him, and he's going to be literally the personification of Satan himself. But he looks good, and people are going to trust him and follow him. He's called the Antichrist. He's going to make a peace treaty with Israel that he's going to break. And so he's ultimately going to kill a whole bunch of people. Not one saved person goes into the tribulation, but a whole bunch of people get saved during the tribulation. And the people we see here are people that the beast has killed during the tribulation period, because to be a Christian during the tribulation is a no-no. Satan's going to make sure you die, because that's not cool. He's trying to set up his kingdom and rule over the whole world through the Antichrist, and being a Christian is just not allowed during that time. Okay? But you're a victor in heaven when the world hates you. So take heart. Take heart. This sea corresponds to the brazen sea in the Old Testament outside the tabernacle. But the saints are already cleansed, so there's no need for water, so it's made of crystal. Isn't that cool? But now it's mixed with fire. Why? Because God's judgment is coming. God's judgment is coming. And so are there harps in heaven? Yes. Let me ask you a question. Would it be boring to be in the cheering section? I'm sad that Arkansas lost, kind of, because I'm from Arkansas. Yesterday's game, I'm kind of sad. I mean, I'm for Ohio State, but I've got divided allegiance, so just deal with it, okay? I mean, just deal with it. But when the champion of the universe wins, I'll have no divided allegiance whatsoever. And anything, they could put a kazoo in my hand and I would play it while he wins. And that's what's happening here. So trust me, whatever instrument gets shoved into your hands, if you got a trumpet, blow it. If you got a drum, beat it. He is winning, and it'll be so exciting. So don't tell me heaven is boring. No, the champion is winning. It'll be awesome. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God. Now, what is that? That's from Exodus chapter 15. We don't even have time to look at it, but write this reference down. Exodus chapter 15, 1 through 19. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God. And when did he sing that? When they crossed the Red Sea and God parted the Red Sea and the children of Israel walked through on dry land, and the Egyptians attempting to go through the gap that God created all died. And guess what I have the privilege of doing, because you're such an awesome church and you're sending me to Israel to dig in June at Shiloh. My brother-in-law asked me to come get scuba certified and be a camera guy on his film crew as he's doing a documentary of the seven seas of Israel. And, or however many there are, the seas of Israel. I guess I can't count right now. I don't think there's seven. Maybe there are. We'll find out. But I'm gonna scuba in the Gulf of Aqaba where the Egyptians crossed, and who knows what we'll find. We're gonna document whatever we find, but wouldn't it be crazy cool if we did find evidence and could document this, the song of Moses, the thing he's rejoicing about, that the Egyptians, their enemies that were trying to kill them, perished, and God rescued them. Wouldn't that be cool? And this is the song they're singing in heaven. Wouldn't it be cool if I got to document part of the place where that happened and find legitimate evidence? I mean, we'll see what we find. Maybe we'll find nothing but a sea turtle, and if so, I'll wave to them for you. Okay, the Song of Moses, the servant of God, and the Song of the Lamb saying, "Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints." The Song of the Lamb, what was that? Well, that was Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. And they sung a new song saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, whether it's Burma or Thailand or the foreign country of Arkansas, and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." When? During the millennium period, and then when God makes a new heavens and a new earth, after the great white throne, you're going to reign, you're going to continue to reign in a new heavens and a new earth. And guess what there will not be? There will be no ambulances because there will be no injuries. There will be no need for policemen because nobody's going to break in. There's going to be no need for alarm systems. It's going to be a perfect earth that God's going to make. It's going to be awesome. So these people are singing a song. They've been through a terrible time. They couldn't buy or sell because they hadn't taken the mark of the beast, and some of them starved. They were all stalked and hunted and killed, and yet they're singing songs of victory. When you serve the Lord, you're a winner. When you serve the world, you're a loser. Think right, Christians. Think eternally. Think like Clur. Don't think, "I'm going to do something that helps somebody for a week. Yay me." Think, "I want to do something that helps people for eternity." You're here, the Word of God is open, your heart is open, and let this truth permeate all of your being down to the tips of your toenails. I will serve the Lord. And just know when you do, you're a winner. Don't allow a root of bitterness to grow in you. Don't let the circumstances of this life take away your song. Keep the end in mind. Think eternally. Yes, your hurt is real, but it's not anything compared to the hurt they went through, and they're still singing. So learn from that. One preacher said this, I like it. "I've learned over the years that God will never let anyone cross our path, not even an enemy, unless it will teach you a lesson." So be like my mentor, my father-in-law, and pray that God will make you a fast learner. Don't stay on the same step trying to learn the same lesson for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. A lot of spiritual Christians die with a maturity level of 3 months old. Let the maturity, the difficulty mature you. Think right about the difficulties that you're going through. Recognize that they're temporary and that God will never leave you or forsake you, and keep that song in your heart. Verse 4, "Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest." Oh, that's awesome. What does that mean? So all the nations are going to come and worship before him? Because guess what they're not doing right now? They're not worshiping the God of the universe. Satan is the prince of this world, and the nations of this world are looking to Satan for guidance, because they're not looking to God. The world is doing things not according to this book. They're doing things according to whatever makes them happy. And they don't think God is a factor. He's not even relevant in their thinking. But all nations, Bible says every knee is going to bow to Jesus and every tongue is going to confess that he's Lord. And this is amazing. I want to sing in heaven. "Who shall not fear thee, O Lord?" We're going to. "O Lord, and glorify thy name, for thou only art holy." By the way, it's just like Eku doing a great job singing up here. And then I came in late to join him. That's how it's going to be. These guys, we're already there. Because we came up in the rapture, we're watching the tribulation unfold. These guys get killed, come up and start singing with us. And they're singing, "For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest." That means you can see them. Right now, people get away with stuff and you think, where's the justice? Maybe the justice system fails us in some cases, and some people are really bitter about that, and can I tell you that justice will be served? There's no court that is a supreme court on this earth. The supreme court is the court in heaven, and it says, "Thy judgments are made manifest." It's like the package hit the the porch, and you heard the thud, and there's seven judgments inside that. And it's gonna, and we're gonna open it up and we're gonna see it. God hasn't dropped the hammer on most of the world's injustice yet, but when he does, all nations will come and bow before him. You serve the king. You are more than a conqueror, the Bible describes you. It also tells you to be a good soldier and endure hardship. So don't be a whiner. Keep your uniform on. Keep your shoes polished. Keep your sword, the word of God, sharp. Be in it every day. I'm proud of you for being here today. You guys are amazing. I love pastoring Chilai Crossroads. I love being part of a group of people that are unified, that hear the word of God with the expectation that they're going to do it. That's awesome. You keep your heart that way, God's going to use you and use you and use you, just like he's using Clur. She could have just continued to be doing whatever she was doing, and that's great. You do whatever God's called you to do. But you keep your heart soft toward the Lord, and he's going to use you, and you're going to feel the radiant satisfaction of knowing that you're pleasing him. And that sense of closeness is going to get you through thick and thin, hardship and loss and difficulty, and every bump you hit on the road, God is going to be with you, and it's going to be awesome and amazing. I don't have time to get through the shortest chapter in Revelation. I'm a little bit sad. I will say this, only dumb Christians don't serve God. He's the winner. Why would you choose to do dumb stuff? Serve him with all your heart. You're better than that. You're a child of the king. Live up to your title. Serve him with all your heart. He loves you. There's no reason not to. All right? A balanced view of God, yes, is that he's loving, but he is to be feared. He is a holy and righteous God. So serve him with fear and trembling, but know that you have his full blessing and approval, and you're accepted in the beloved. So live in the light of his word, and God will bless you. Let me show you a picture. It's our last family picture that was taken before 9/11. 21 years ago today, at about 8 in the morning, Julie and I and our two kids boarded a plane in Fort Myers, Florida, came back from vacation, and got a beautiful wife, two really cute little kids. They were seated just ahead of us. We were in the left side of the plane about two-thirds of the way back. And when the Twin Towers were hit, that's how we were seated. A few people got on their phones, and all sorts of rumors were circulating around the plane about the whole country was on fire. We didn't know what was happening. We wound up landing in Knoxville, and originally they wanted to charge us something like $2,000 to rent a car to go to Chicago. And then the CEOs of the companies realized we can't gouge people. That'll be really bad. So they gave us a really good deal and let us drive one way and not pay the one-way fee. So we ultimately got home. But I want you to go home today. Here's your assignment. And I want you to look at your most recent family picture and recognize that it could be your last family picture. That could have been our last family picture. But for the grace of God and the mercy he spared us that day, our plane could have been a missile that hit the Twin Towers, but it wasn't. We and 4,000 other flights safely were grounded at the nearest airport that could accommodate us. There's coming a day when God's destruction and judgment is going to fall on this earth because they've rejected his mercy. And when you reject mercy, there's nothing left for you but judgment. May I encourage you to do two things. Number one, accept the mercy of God right now before it's too late. The family picture you took last could be your last one. Don't assume you have another day or another heartbeat because it's not granted that you have that. It's not a given. Trust Christ as your Savior. And then, once you've trusted Christ, not in order to get saved or stay saved, devote your life to reaching others with the simple, clear gospel that Christ died for their sins and rose again. If you have an ounce of compassion in you, care about the people that are driving down the road, that are your co-workers, that are your family, that are your neighbors, even the ones that have the dogs that chase you when you walk by their house, even the ones that for whatever reason over the generations you don't like, you go bake them brownies because you let the compassion of God work in your heart so that you care about them as much as God cared about you. You didn't deserve to be saved any more than those guys did, but God, Christ died for you. God the Son died for you, and He died for them. Just because you got the message first means you have the privilege of carrying it to them. He died for you equally. You're sinners equally. None of us are deserving. None of us are perfect. So number one, trust Christ. And then number two, devote your life taking that message to other people. Why? Because it's the least we can do. And God told us to. And as believers, as soldiers who've been bought with a price, we don't have the right to tell God no. Many Christians do. They're dumb. They're going to pay at the judgment seat of Christ. My mom would say, don't be a dumb bunny. I don't know what that means, but you guys, don't be a dumb bunny. Serve the Lord with all your heart. Not in order to get saved or stay saved, but because you are saved by grace. It's the only logical thing to do, to serve the King who wins. All nations are going to bow before Him. Every knee is going to bow. You bow the knee now and serve Him with all your heart, and you'll be rewarded so richly you will not regret it. Just like Claire said, I do not regret going to Dayspring Bible College. You will not regret it when you stand before Christ. Doesn't matter what you've done so far with your life, from today forward, serve the Lord with all your heart. You're saved by grace through faith plus nothing. Now serve Him with all your heart, flat out, full out, until you see Jesus.